Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we continue to celebrate the great feast of Pentecost. We have this whole octave, but we could celebrate it for many, many days. And I want to share some things with you. Do you remember the other day I prayed the sequence, one of the earliest prayers that the church prayed together? And in part of that prayer, which is a hymn to the Holy Spirit, it says, "On our dryness pour your dew, wash the stains of guilt away, bend the stubborn heart and will, melt the frozen, warm the chill, guide the steps that go astray, on the faithful who adore and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descent." And I said to you the other day, the seven gifts, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. Go back to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1. You'll begin to see them all there. I want to talk about them this week, very briefly, but I want you to, my book, More of the Holy Spirit, will help you a lot in this, and you can order that simply by going online or checking with your Catholic bookstore. You want the book More of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to talk about it briefly in these programs, at least to get your curiosity up and for you to take a look. But what I most pray for is that you would allow these gifts to begin to flourish in your own life, to really begin to bud and to blossom and to bloom for the glory of God. The first of those sevenfold gifts is wisdom. And this is what Pope John Paul said. Wisdom is a light which we receive from on high. It is a special sharing in that mysterious and highest knowledge, which is that of God Himself. I begin to know God. That's the source of any wisdom we have, even human wisdom. It's the more I know God. And that's what God reveals to us, is He reveals Himself through His Holy Spirit. This higher wisdom is the root of a new awareness, a knowledge permeated by love, by means of which, listen to this, the soul becomes familiar, so to say, with divine things and tastes them. St. Thomas Aquinas says, he speaks particularly of a certain taste of God, through which the truly wise person is not simply one who knows the things of God, but rather the one who experiences them and lives them. I begin to walk with God. In a certain sense, God begins to impregnate my mind so that I might see things as He sees them, that I might have His priorities. That's the source of wisdom. When somebody is wise in the things of God, they have a gift that's called wisdom, and God will give that to those who seek Him. He can give you the ability to look at a situation, to say, what would God do, and to begin to understand what God would do because you're operating out of God's priorities. God gives that to everyone who is confirmed. 99% don't use it because we never draw close enough to God, to walk in His company. We never come to intimacy with God because we never think it's possible, when in reality it is. Pope John Paul says that St. Thomas speaks of a certain taste of God, as I said before, through which the truly wise person is not simply one who knows the things of God. In other words, you just don't know the scripture passages and you just can rattle off the catechism answers. That's not wisdom. That's information. But it becomes wisdom is the one who experiences those things and lives them. He gives us a special ability then to judge human things according to God's standard in God's light. It really does come down. It's not wisdom that comes from education, though education can help. But it comes directly from the Holy Spirit, to live as God would live, to see life and circumstances around you as God would see them. And then the Holy Spirit can guide you in your own particular experience to follow him more closely. It's joyful. You're not alone. That's the gift of wisdom. Let's take a look today at the first reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 35, verses 1 to 12. To keep the law is a great oblation, and he who observes the commandments sacrifices a peace offering. Observing the commandments is the foundation out of which wisdom is given. In works of charity, one offers fine flour, and when he gives alms, he presents his sacrifice of praise. To refrain from evil pleases the Lord. To avoid injustice is an atonement. Appear not before the Lord empty-handed, for all that you offer is in fulfillment of the precepts. We're called to offer to God. The just one's offering enriches the altar and rises as a sweet odor before the Most High. The just one's sacrifice is most pleasing, nor will it ever be forgotten. In a generous spirit, pay homage to the Lord. Be not sparing of freewill gifts. With each contribution, show a cheerful countenance. Pay your tithes in a spirit of joy. Give to the Most High as he has given to you, generously, according to your means. For the Lord is one who always repays. He will give back to you sevenfold, not twofold, sevenfold. But offer no bribes, these he does not accept. Trust not in sacrifice of the fruits of extortion, for he is a God of justice who knows no favorites. Don't give in to the way the world does it. Bribes, all corrupt. Extortion, corruption. People around the world are suffering deeply because they have been made a fool of. They put their trust in the things of this world, and it turned on them. You want the gift of wisdom that shows you who God is and shows you why you were created and what God would love to do with your life if you will follow him. It's going to be so much better than anything you could come up with. Trust him. Ask for the gift of wisdom. That you can see your life as God sees it. And as you begin to live that way, you can help others. That's putting wisdom to work. God's gifts always bring new life. Always. Can you trust him enough to put aside what the world values and choose what he values? Ask the Holy Spirit for help to make the right choices. To the upright, I will show the saving power of God. Who is upright? The one who acknowledges his sin and repents for his sin and tries every day to follow the will of God. That's the upright. Doesn't mean to be perfect. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 28 to 31, Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Peter wants to make sure that Jesus knows he's given up everything. Of course, Jesus knows it, but he loves to hear it from us. We have given up everything and followed you. And Jesus said, "Amen. I say to you, there is no one who's given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions." Little thing thrown in there that's pretty darn important. With persecution. An eternal life in the age to come. I'm a religious. I have no children of my own in the flesh. But I have many, many children who came to know life in Christ because of the way in which God used me, or at least God allowed me to participate in. There are many because I followed the will of God and not my own will. One is in labor to give birth to children of God. And it costs everything. But God rewards sometimes even a hundredfold in this life and in the world to come, eternal life. Some are called to marriage. Absolutely. You're called to be fertile and fruitful. Called to multiply and to fill the earth with the glory of God. And that's a noble, noble vocation. And if you do it well, that is, if you, when I say well, it doesn't always mean success, but if you do what you're called to do as mothers and fathers, you will be rewarded in the life to come. Sometimes we see some of those blessings, as I did in this life, but all of us in the life to come, all of us will see the fruit of our obedience to God. Is your faith strong enough? If it's not, ask Him, please give me greater faith to believe that your promises are true, that your word is true. Jesus says, many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. What the world holds up to us as prominent, as important, as valuable, is often, brothers and sisters, in the eyes of God, laughable. Do you know that? We strive to make our bodies look this way or that way, but we never touch our souls. And yet the body is the one that houses the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the body is to be treated well, yes, but not made an idol of. And how much you watch on television today or the internet is parading their bodies. How beautiful this body is. It's like looking at a tabernacle and saying, how beautiful is the tabernacle, and never recognizing the infinite beauty that is within. Your body is a tabernacle of God. Treat your body well, yes, absolutely, as you can. But make sure that that body and its desires are in obedience to God. Because what you carry within is infinitely precious. Scripture says that those of us who follow Him will have houses, will have sisters, will have mothers, will have children, will have lands, perhaps, with persecutions. So it's a mixed bag in this world, very mixed bag. Sometimes it feels like we have none of what God promises, and I know that. But Scripture says, if you endure this, you will have eternal life in the age to come. So the goal is to put first in your heart what is first in God's heart. It's having the gift of wisdom that helps you to do that. So conform your life to Christ. Conform your life to the gospel and begin to live out of that and watch the perspective that it gives you. It's like putting on a whole different set of glasses. It's not unreal. You see reality, but you see it from the eyes of God, and you're able to make the right choices. May God bless you. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, Captured by Mercy, which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.